Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who've transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for removing the term Latinx from all official documents of the moderately okay state of Arkansas. In justifying this, Sanders attempted to co-opt our own Justice First language by claiming that using gender-neutered terms like Latinx instead of Latina and Latino was actually disrespectful to native speakers of Spanish, calling the term culturally insensitive. But how is it culturally insensitive to tell the 487 million Spanish speakers around the world that their culture is completely wrong? The gall! We, of course, see right through this shallow attempt at satire and call her executive order what it is, an enormous step backward in the ongoing struggle for gender truth. The problem with Spanish, of course, isn't that some things are female and other things are male, it's that those are the only two options. Whereas privileging men over women is sexism, privileging the male-female paradigm itself over the most righteous and holy doctrine of gender fluidity is genderism. And the whole point of creating a brave new term like Latinx was to expose this corrosive genderism in the language. Latinx is supposed to be strange and unpleasant by design because it is demanding accountability for the entire language and those who speak it. So long as there is a difference between L and La, and only L and La, there will never be equity for the rest of the representatives of the holy acronym string. Latinx uber alles, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And second, urinals. That's right, it is finally time to admit the grand folly of our culture's long-standing pro-boy stance and the perpetual insult to transgender men everywhere embodied in the porcelain pee place. As the thought heroes of the Milford, New Hampshire School Board recently showed us, a high school that truly loves and accepts transgender boys will no longer vagina shame its students into differentiating between boys who can pee standing up and boys who can only pee sitting down. When they voted to put duct tape and garbage bags over all the urinals in the bathrooms at Milford High School in preparation for their replacement with genital-inclusive stalls, the majority really dropped a solid load of justice on the district. In addition to eliminating the painfully persistent system of ceramic segregation, this vote also finally flushes away the unjust time advantage which boys have always had over girls in the duration of their bathroom visits. And if imposing inefficiency on boys is the best way to remedy this gender time gap, then let's do it. Toward that end, we also recommend the following new rules, all in the interest of creating time use equity between boys and girls. First, all boys must wear pantyhose in order to take away the natural advantage they have in getting dressed in the morning. Similarly, all boys must either adorn themselves in makeup or else endure a 30-minute timeout at the beginning of the day to make up for the makeup gap they unfairly benefit from at home. Furthermore, each non-menstruating boy will be randomly assigned 1 week of the month during which he must sit in the corner of the room for an entire class period to take away the time advantage he has in not having to deal with an actual period. Menstruating boys, of course, will be excused from the penalty. Finally, an additional catch-all gender time gap penalty of 45 minutes per day for all boys will be imposed to account for everything from lower talk time on the phone to extra time lost changing for PE to the lack of need to shave one's legs and, of course, time lost shopping for clothes. All told, we believe that a 75-minute total time penalty and mandatory bathroom sitting should equalize things a bit. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, a huge atta person to the fine work done by Puffin and the Roald Dahl Story Company to update the language in the best-selling authors' children's books such as The BFG, Fantastic Mr. Fox, James and the Giant Peach, Matilda, and The Witches. Using the pattern laid out by St. George the Orwell in his seminal tutorial manual, 1984, these books are finally suitable to our current moment in the ongoing evolution of human hypersensitivity. However, in studying the hundreds of updates, I noticed a troubling pattern in which something offensive has changed, but even larger offenses are completely overlooked. Consider just a few examples from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. First, underactive thyroid sufferer Augustus Gloop is now described as merely enormous rather than as enormously fat. That's good, but the entire book revolves around the depraved human desire for unhealthy sweets. What good does it do to stop calling Gloop fat if we continue to expose our children's minds to the titillating depravity of rivers of chocolate and candy bar eating frenzies? The better revision would have been to make Willy Wonka the owner of a nice vegetable farm, or perhaps a tofu factory, of course, with the input and blessing of Her Excellency, former First Lady Michelle Obama. Second, all the origin story and descriptors of Oompa Loompas are deleted, except for calling them little people instead of tiny men, making them both gender-inclusive and mitigating the derogatory references to their alternate height style. But what about the capitalist oppression that forces distant natives to migrate to other lands and work in industrial settings for inadequate wages under the oppressive patriarchy of a curly-haired white man in a purple coat? Where's the edit for that? Third, obviously, all the references to Mike TV's guns and shooting them have been properly removed so that no child might ever form the mistaken belief that firearms are normal or safe to use. But yet the systemic injustice of the entire law enforcement apparatus has been left intact as police persons still work for the wealthy industrialist to keep the malnourished masses at bay outside the gates of his obesity factory. In short, dear Otherin, although these edits and deletions most certainly improve the bigoted and hateful works of Roald Dahl, they've only scratched the surface on the real reforms needed for those to be suitable indoctrination for children. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
627 here on News Radio 92.